The spirit sings, creativity and the art of song making. However, we've already said this is for general interest. This is not just aimed for songwriters. And in fact, I don't think we have any songwriters. Are you a songwriter?
No.
Can't remember. No, okay. No songwriters. Oh, well. Good. I can skip that part. Last session, and four of you were here, Ingrid wasn't, but we talked a lot about the cultural context of songwriters, poets, created storytellers, and the role they play in our culture. So we won't go back over that. And I told you that today what we would concentrate on are more the hands-on kind of skills of, you know, the tools of the trade, what it takes to put together a song, what gets in the way, what kinds of things stimulate us. And if nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this class, what I want you to remember is that you are all writers and poets and song makers. It's something that people have always done. And it's only been in this culture and in this time that we've segmented it and said there are certain people who are the singers and there are certain people who dance and there are certain... It used to be that everybody danced. You know, it was just a natural part of the culture. And so it's certainly, if I'd be an advocate to go back to that, because we all need ways of expressing ourselves. I'm just going to throw out one question here. Well, first of all, Ingrid, we've all introduced ourselves, but how about if we go around briefly and introduce yourselves again and maybe answer, okay, I have two questions. Maybe to tie in a little bit from our last time. Oh, Ingrid, I don't think you have this either. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. We handed out this sheet last time, which was basically some what people have said about the craft of songwriting, and which certainly can also apply to writing and poetry and other forms too. But what have been some of your role models? So maybe introduce yourself. And tell me, who is a favorite writer, poet, songwriter of yours? And if you can think of maybe one of their favorite songs, what, or poems or written material, what makes it so good? What makes it alive to you? Why do you consider this writer one of your favorite writers, or this piece of work one of your favorites? What makes for you a good song, poem, story? Okay, let's start over here.
Gosh.
I know, that's a tough one.
Well, I'm Christine, good for, I guess, some humor here. Gosh, I like Wendell Berry.
Yes.
One of his poems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because he's a little bit, he does some pretty serious things, but in kind of a way that just flows real naturally. It's not, you know, I have to think and puzzle and wonder what he's trying to say. It's
kind of more natural language.
Yeah.
It's not so obscure and symbolic that you have to wade through it, but it feels very accessible.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. Just one favorite.
Oh, my first favorite was Lead Have Been Some Role Models.
Who was your favorite? Help me, I can write them out. I've got so many of them. I think I like Longfellow off the railroad. Longfellow.
Uh huh. Why?
I love him. All the poems. I love them. Why? I don't know. This really ever thought his writing was so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's writing things, and he just writes things out so nicely.
So his descriptions.
I don't know, I was reading Longfellow when I was about 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love Hiawatha.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
My name is Morris. I'm from Roy, Washington. I really haven't done a lot of writing. Just what I call free verse, just kind of sing-songy, you know. I haven't read very much, so I know I can't think of anybody.
Okay.
But my mother's name is Browning. It's just coincidence that she writes poetry, and my father did too.
So it's just something people in your family do. It's just,
yeah.
It's great.
And I've just done a few for church and for school. In fact, it really made me feel good. They needed a school song. And our school is great on positive action.
Mm-hmm.
And so the music teacher and I came up with a school song on positive action.
Oh, great.
That was fun.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I really don't. I like country western music.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a favorite song in country western? Or a favorite singer?
Not really. I kind of like Don Williams and
uh-huh.
Charlie Pride.
Uh-huh.
So, the guitar music. I just really like the guitar music.
I wonder if, and I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but if you would say, as Christine did, that perhaps what I like about country anyway is that it's very accessible to... They're good stories, often, you know, not always, but
yeah,
often they have
songs,
a very clear, yeah. straight way of telling a story that often can appeal to me, that feels very honest, very deep.
That's true. Mm. And the song you sang yesterday, that's my kind of music too.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. That was great.
Oh, good.
And I didn't say yesterday, but I taught myself to play the guitar, just the melody,
mm-hmm.
not chords, the... I like music.
Okay.
Mom. Well, I'm Jean.
Also known as Mom.
also known
some
as Mom.
Some circles.
yes, this week. my identity is that I'm Linda's mom.
oh, no.
And I have to be perfectly honest and say she did not get it from me.
no, it's not true.
And I've had favorite poems, but at different times in my life. I remember when I was in high school, Robert Burns was my favorite poem.
Mm.
He just sort of spoke to something in me at that particular age, and still like him, but now I have more difficulty reading him.
Uh-huh.
Because at that time, you know, it was fresh and I'd been studying it, and so I guess I have to say one of my favorite poems right about this time is Linda Allen, who I feel says things I could never say, and who I feel is honest.
That's a good make me cry. oh. Thank you. Ingrid. I did not set her up, by the way.
No.
I asked her.
I'm sorry, my name is Ingrid Christensen.
You're Ingrid?
I'm Christine.
Oh, you're Christine. Oh, okay.
I guess a favorite poet currently is Alice Walker, who writes a lot of poetry that I resonate with. And a favorite songwriter I just am thinking of because yesterday was his birthday and I'm very fond of him, and that's Steve Goodman, who's a folk song singer from Chicago, where I'm from, who died a few years ago of cancer. We ran in the same circles some, so I was sad about that, and I like his music a lot. But I should tell you the story that I told Linda a couple days ago, which is that 2 weeks ago my children and I took a 12-hour car trip to Minnesota from Chicago. And I took along a stack of tapes to listen to in the car that I had been given over the last year or two, which I hadn't had time to listen to because my life is too busy. It's really pathetic when you have tapes that you don't have time to listen to. But so I decided to listen to them on this car trip and sort out which ones I would like to listen to again at home, because I do listen to music at home, but I only have energy to listen to the ones that I know I already like. And so I listened to, and people always give me tapes done by women. So I listened to a lot of women singers on this car trip, and my favorite one turned out to be by someone I'd never
heard of before. I've never been to Allen.
So.
So it was really
oh, I love
great.
It.
And I met Linda here and started enjoying talking with her and making friends and never made the connection until I went into the bookstore and saw the tape sitting there. So it was very interesting.
Oh, I love that story. You can tell as many times as you want.
Here you go.
I don't think you were here. Now, I was here. Are you here?
No,
what we're doing right now
is people are just, and you're the only three left here, you missed this part. If you would please introduce yourself, and for the people who weren't here before, tell if you have a favorite role model, a person who is a writer, a poet, a songwriter, and if you want to tell if there's a favorite song, what really attracts you to that writer? What resonates with you? Why do you like that writer or songwriter or poet? And for those who haven't been here too, when you give your name, maybe you could let me know if you're more interested in writing or poetry or songs, or if you have a special creative outlet yourself. So, I know we met you before.
Hello, but from Minneapolis, and I've always been really fond of Joan Baez. I don't know why, she just probably says the things I like to say.
As a writer as well, because she has been writing her own. She has written some of her own songs too.
And performing.
And of course you said you don't know, but can I press it a little bit? Can you think of what it is about her writing that appeals?
I think just the causes that she writes for.
So what she has to say, actually.
Yes,
so.
But I think I like her voice, and I like the way she comes across to an audience, too.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
I'm Louise Hansen. if I had a favorite or not. I didn't.
It's okay if you don't.
It seems like I kind of go through different parts of my life. I've liked different people. And recently I haven't really been listening to much music, although I have a music background and I've been sort of doing other things. And as far as being in, I don't think I'm going to write probably music or poetry or anything maybe especially, but I'm kind of interested just in how, hearing what you have to say or what people have to say about you.
Okay. Alright.
I'm Bruce Custer, and I would, as a poet, maybe not so much songwriter, Garrison Keillor. Just those things that he does.
Can you think specifically in Garrison's work what it is that appeals to you?
I don't know, just real. It's humorous, some of it, a lot of it. And, it's upbeat. Again, it can make you laugh. I like some blues.
That's interesting too. Like, what is it in blues as a mode of expression that really does for some people resonate very deeply. And I think in some of my favorite blues songs, maybe it's the simplicity of it, the clarity, as well as the honesty. I've heard that word come up a few times, is honest. I've heard the word, people mention good descriptions or, descriptive. We'll get into some of these things, but just thinking about as you're reading, what makes this good? You know, what is it about this that really draws me out? Garrison Keillor, I really like his writing too. And I think, again, it's this honesty. I think it's the richness of the detail that he puts in his writing. It carries you right there, you know, puts you right in the scene. His storytelling. I mean, that's how, you know, more than reading, it's just been listening to his stories on the radio and just being transported. I mean, suddenly I'm in rural Minnesota, and, you know, and it's wonderful. Yeah. Okay, what we're doing is introducing ourselves again, and mentioning if you have a favorite writer, singer, poet, what is it about their writing that really appeals? Who might they be, some role models for you, and what is it you like about their work?
Well, I'm Anita Huntley, and I write for myself pretty much, poetry and prose. I hope you, Linda, you're really my role model right now. At least since October, yeah. I've always been into folk music type things, and the story is important to me. I'm not good at writing music. I'm not into music and that sort of thing. But story is important to me, and you bring across the story. Mm-hmm. As you said last time, it's important to you.
Mm-hmm. That is part of what I introduced myself last time and gave a little of my background is that I do consider myself as much a storyteller as anything else. That the music, although they have to weave together, the music has to carry, it's, as one writer described, as sort of the motor behind the lyrics. The music's important, but it's not where I begin. I begin with an idea. I begin because I have something to say. And most of the time, I will write the lyrics first and then go back and find a tune. So that's my particular perspective. Now, you will talk to 10 other songwriters and musicians who may come from very different perspectives. Some write together. Some, in fact, many of the people I know go to the music first because that's what's important, especially if they're jazz musicians, many classical. And the emotion that the music carries is primary. But again, they also need lyrics that will work, that fit, you know, but it's just a different emphasis. And because so much of my work is centered around reaching out and trying to affect people's minds and hearts, often because I have a particular vision that I want to share or an experience, that I've found has some kind of a universal quality, and I want to connect with other people around the universality of that particular experience. And so that I do through words, particularly.
I don't know anyone who shared a recipe through song. Like,
for those who don't know, that's another that's another thing I do, yes. I figure there ought to be a musical cookbook at some time, because when you memorize those songs, you know, then you don't have to look it up. You just sing. Yeah, there's a song that I wrote called Sally's Quiche that gives the recipe for quiche in it. Okay, well, I think we'll start in, okay, we're going to talk about tools for a minute. Okay, so if you want to write, and I'm going to assume you, and all of you in some level of your being are here because you really would like to write. And there's incredible denial about that. But I'm going to assume that we would like in some way to find a way to express ourselves, whether it's in writing your own journal, whether it's writing a family history like my mom's doing, maybe just for your own use or pleasure, that you all have some little place in you that you think, yeah, it would be nice to do this. But then you have, then immediately all the blocks and the walls come up that tells you you can't, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But okay, let's assume you want to write. And let's start with the tools that you will need. Okay, let's start real basic. You need some paper, right? People put their work together in a lot of different ways. I'm leaning heavily on a couple of resource books, and I'll start out with those, actually. This one's called Writing Down the Bones. I introduced it last time. It's a wonderful book. And I can speak for it again because I'm reading it while I'm here for the second time and just immediately finding again what an inspiration it is. They're like little meditations, each couple of pages, from a woman who writes very well, and you will pick that up in the flow of things as well. But she starts right out talking about tools and talking about notebooks and paper. And here's another resource, rhyming dictionary, especially for a songwriter. I never even knew one existed till I went to a songwriting class. Very handy tools. I use them a lot. Now that again is more for poetry or lyric writing. That may not be too
What's
relevant.
The publisher on that?
They come out in a lot of different forms. This one, this is a Random House one, but I also have another one that's put out by a different company. It's like a thesaurus or a dictionary. There are a lot of different companies that put them out. A dictionary, of course, a thesaurus. There's a little dictionary of synonyms and antonyms. All of those can be useful too, though there are few that I use as much as a dictionary and a rhyming dictionary. And thesaurus, that's handy. This one, last couple days ago, we introduced a technique called clustering, in which a lot of you started your writing. And that comes from here, and we won't demonstrate that again. We really don't have time, but if you weren't here and want to ask me about it, I'll show you about clustering, which is a way basically of releasing that creativity and sort of sidestepping the internal critic we all have our sort of left mode way of thinking, and this is a way of more releasing the right brain. It's an excellent technique, and this is at the bookstore here. Okay, pen. Natalie Goldberg, who wrote this, talks about pens. It's really important to have a pen that writes freely, that really flows, that won't stop you. Like a felt pen is nice, but it's kind of slow often. And there are a lot of different kind of pens. So experiment. She uses a fountain pen. See what works for you. But you want a real free flow. She talks about paper. And she said often if you will get yourself a very nice journal, then you feel that every, bound, one of those hand-bound books, you start feeling that everything goes in it has to be really good. And she said she buys these quarter notebooks with Walt Disney characters on the front, and then it feels that she can't take herself too seriously. And then she just fills those up. One thing, too, I surround myself with, I guess this would come under tools, would be sources, because a lot of what I write, I will do a lot of research on. I'm very interested in women's history, and lately in history of Washington. I had a project in which I wrote a lot of songs about Washington's history. And so I surround myself with the books that give me information about that subject, because often we will launch into a song, and this goes on many levels, in which we just don't have the information yet. And when we start writing from that place, and before we've really absorbed a subject or really surrounded ourselves with a subject, in whatever way we can, whether it's being in a certain place or environment or reading a lot about the subject, then you're handicapped from the start. There are times, I'm trying to remember what song I just wrote. Well, there was a certain subject I felt it was important to make a statement about. Okay. I think there was a rally coming up, which is often the motivation for trying to get a song for a rally. I tend not to be a very good rally song writer because they tend to have a certain very narrow perspective, and I tend to need to keep balancing the scale and looking on both sides of the subject, so my rally songs often don't work. But I felt for whatever reason I needed one for this rally, and I went over, I was very frustrated. I couldn't seem to get anything going. I went over to a friend's house, locked myself in her little empty room, and just sat there for about 5 hours, and I'm going to do it. Nothing. It was the most frustrating 5 hours I've spent in a long time, and it was because I didn't have the information. A couple of years later, after I'd more immersed myself in the subject, had more information, had more to draw from, then it flowed and it was easy. But don't, what's the phrase? Don't push the river. Don't, you know, let it come a little more naturally than that. Okay, I'll say just that much about tools for now. Let's talk about blocks, and I think every one of us has something to say about that. Why would we say, I'm not a writer, I'm not a songwriter, I'm not, you know, what are the things that get in the way of our writing?
Thinking that it ought to be a certain way. Yeah, maybe there is a right way, and I don't know what that right way is, so I can't do it, you know, or some dumb thing like that.
Good. Uh-huh.
I think sometimes we read what somebody else has done and think, oh, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can go pretty basically back to not feeling like what you know about or feel about is important.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal
self-esteem. Discrediting your, yeah, very true. Discrediting your own experience somehow. There's not, nobody else would be interested. Mm-hmm. I talked about that yesterday in writing some of those sort of what I considered kind of belly button songs. And the kind of songs you just think are just so introspective that, and you hear a lot of those, even some people who write them that don't do it well, you know. Mm-hmm. And whoever would be interested in this experience?
Mm-hmm.
And yet if you can write it, you know, almost any of those experiences, if you can get to the heart of it and reach that universal quality, it's going to be very real for far more people than you ever know. But that's true. That's one of the things that stops us, is definitely thinking it's not important, what I have to say isn't important. What else?
It's just thinking you're not good enough to do it. To, you know, embarrassing to put it down because you think it won't be good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
I think time. In my life, I find that I can write when I'm on sabbatical and have time to feel what's happening around me and be in touch more with myself. But when I'm working, I have to operate on such a literal level. I have to be so practical. I have to write a lot at work, but I have to write reports and practical things and letters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no problem. I can produce that stuff fast and well written and clear and effective.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't do any creative writing during that time because my focus of my life, my brain, works so on the literal level that I don't have time to let it go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. I think often that's been a women's dilemma, particularly because our lives are so segmented.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even if you are a stay-at-home mother too, there are constant demands being made upon your time. And trying to actually find a block of time in which to read or to write, not to mention getting your mind clear of that clutter, can be extremely difficult.
The image that came to mind for me was real dramatic when I went on a long sabbatical and found that it was like a dried up flat sponge, my creative part of my brain, and every day was drips of water going on that sponge and it was getting bigger and bigger. But while it was getting bigger and bigger, my practical and literal level stuff was shrinking. Less and less efficient managing a home and anything else I had to do. It's like my brain can only do so much. It can't do everything.
Well, my mother's seen my house. Some of the things that get let go. It's like, we can't do it all. You know? And there are things that have to give way.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, sometimes I get stuck in that thing, maybe just even writing a letter to somebody, thinking I've got to have a block of time to do it. And then
late the last few years, as I have less and less time, found that I can make better use of little teeny bits of time than I do if I have an idea about something, even if it's not a creative thing, to stop and write it down. And then over a period of little times, then maybe if I do have some time, I've got something to work with. I don't know. When you write, do you feel like you need a space of uninterrupted time for a lot of time to write?
It really varies for me. A lot of my writing happened when my children were very small. The first two albums, I think, came out when the children were both preschoolers still. So, and I was still trying to work and perform. So time was certainly an issue for me. But I think some ways to get around it is, yes, capturing those ideas. Maybe having a notebook. Do no more than write a line. Maybe it's an inspiration. For me, often newspaper articles will provide inspiration. And I'll clip it out and I'll stick it in a notebook, which are just full of those kinds of ideas. With the idea, I'll come back to it later. Keeping a notebook by your bed. Some people use a tape recorder by your bed. So that when the thoughts come, because there's nothing deader than when those ideas have gone, they are really gone. And when you've lost the passion, and if you try and recapture them and try and recapture some of that passion, it can be very difficult. So what I think part of it is being moved by the passion of the idea. That some of my songs feel much more structured and I need just a lot of basic information to put them together. And then it is like writing a paper. I need to give myself a block of time and really work it out. Some others, though, really are moved by passion. It's sort of like suddenly nothing else is important. And I just put, everybody on hold. I say, I'm sorry, I'm going to take the next 2 hours, and I will just create that space. Now, that's ideal. It doesn't always work. But one of the things I did for my craft when the children were quite small was commit that money I was starting to make from performance or from selling records, from whatever way, I started putting into childcare and buying myself some time. And it was breaking even, but it was a way to try and squeeze out those little blocks of time, because especially when the children were so small and demanding, it was very, very difficult. Relying on friends. One thing too, putting together a writer's group. For one thing, it provides you inspiration. It provides, because you want to show up with something. You don't want to come empty-handed. If you meet every week or 2 weeks, and especially I would think if you have small children and you can even help each other out, there would be a support network in terms of children and childcare as well, because the problems are somewhat unique of very small children. I'm about to get back into again and remember again what that was like. But just having the support of a group of people who can act to give you that kind of feedback is very important, and I would really strongly encourage you to look at that. I think you will find that if it becomes a passion, the time can be created. You can find the time. And that's probably the best I can say about that. I think it's everybody's struggle. What Ingrid described, it is not uncommon at all. And it is so, and I think we all know that one. but it depends on, I think the more, if you start getting a lot of pleasure out of your writing, or a lot of meaning. For me, keeping a journal was a very good discipline. And it isn't like every night I'm going to open that journal and I'm going to write what happened today. There's some fine books on journal writing out too that shows you how to really creatively use journal writing as a good, not only therapeutic method, but also a really good basis for writing out these experiences later. But again, I write it when I'm moved by passion, and there may be months that pass in which I'm just not there. But when I write, then just to fill, I may fill up 5 pages, you know, just before I go to bed, before I go to sleep, which is a time I'll often write, or a little break in the day. And the more you write, you may find that it becomes more important, and that the space begins to be created. And it shouldn't drain you as much as it does. It shouldn't squeeze out other parts. Physically, or in some ways, it will squeeze out other parts of your life. You may give up some meetings. You may give up some social engagements. You know, but it shouldn't really mentally take away. To me, it's feeding. You know? When I'm into that mode of writing, I'm never more alive. You know, I feel, that's true of performing too. That's a whole nother art form. I feel most myself sometimes when I'm on stage, and most confident. It's a wonderful feeling. But when I'm writing and starting to connect, and what's coming out starts feeling good, I feel very alive, very in touch. And I really feel, when I finish it, it's like, you know, just very refreshed. I don't know if that's other people's experience, but it sure has been mine. Well, I don't want to dominate here. I want to hear from you more too. What gets in the way, and how do you break through? How do you break through these self-esteem issues? It's no good. Nobody's going to want to read this anyway. It's drivel. In a way, I wonder if part of that's what we go through with any craft we learn, because I want you to think about this a bit as a craft. Not anything magical and mysterious that's accessible only to a few. But this is a craft. I've been doing it for 20 odd years, more than that. And that's why I have some skill. But it's a building skill. And I've learned it by doing it a lot. I've learned it by listening a lot to what other people do. And it's just sort of like if you start to ride a bicycle and you fall down the first time and say, well, I just wasn't meant to be a bicycle rider. You know, I'm terrible at it. Well, probably we all were. You know, I mean, I was terrible at it when I started writing. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of feedback from friends who would say, well, that's nice. You know? and just keep pushing the skill. Just keep trying to develop, well, what would make it better? You know, and being willing and open to take those critiques and that information from the people around you. I depend heavily on people around me to give me that information. And I may not always believe it, or it may not always ring true for me. You'll know that too. But definitely I depend on critics. You know, and you have to be wide open and vulnerable to that, and that's scary. But again, don't expect to start out sounding like Garrison Keillor or whatever. You don't start there. More, can we say more about blocks, what gets in our way, and ways people have found to break through?
What level of musical ability do you think you need to have to be a songwriter?
I have a good one to ask. Go ahead.
Can you, if you find yourself able to write the poetry,
yes,
for the song,
mm-hmm,
do you get somebody who's just musical and you have them and you work with them and get lyrics?
That's one way to do it.
I mean, get the score.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be particularly wonderfully musically talented to be a songwriter. My skills on guitar are fairly minimal. I think I have a musical sense because I've just listened to a lot of people for a long time, and so have honed, you know, a style that's grown out of all those, that tune hoard in my head, which is maybe one way to describe it. I steal from everybody, which everybody does. You know, don't be afraid to copy what other people do, because we all do. You know, Woody Guthrie used to say he's the biggest song thief there ever was. And it's true. You know, hardly an original tune. They were all, you know, so often just based on traditional music. His interest was mostly in words, and he was a wonderful wordsmith. But yes, if your particular talent is that you're very good with words, but get totally stuck, first thing I would try is to put it to a familiar tune. Don't be afraid to do that. I think we all did that, especially to start. Put it to a familiar tune, and either just let it lie at that point, or you might try, once you've got your tunes and your the rhythm of the words in tune with the music, then you might try changing the music just a bit. You know, you might say, well, where he went down here, well, how would it be if I went up here, you know? And you don't have to know a lot about music to do that. I can't read music worth a darn. I'm very unskilled in terms, I mean, it would be handy if I were. I'm certainly not trying to put down, you know, being able to play piano and all of that, but I've managed to get a long ways without even being able to really read. So don't think you have to go and develop a whole lot of skills before you start writing. Just start doing it. And then, yes, the other thing is to go and find someone who may have a real strong skill in the music end of it, you know, work with them. Anything else about, let's see, anything else to say about, oh, I wanted to talk a little bit more about creating that environment to write. And we mentioned this somewhat. Solitude is important and very hard to find, but giving yourself a space, once you have this collection, this notebook, you know, this collection of ideas or some inspiration or something you want to start polishing, to try hard to give yourself a space of an hour or two in which you're going to look at blank paper. Better, though, than looking at blank paper is just doing what we did yesterday, just starting to write, or the day before, just start to write. Don't let your hands stop. Just fill up pages. And 9/10 of it may be drivel. But you also may get a good start, and you may find out of that that your ideas will begin. So give yourself solitude, and there's some discipline involved. And I'm not the best one to talk about discipline, because I I tend to be fairly undisciplined myself. But some of the best songwriters I know, when they started out, gave themselves a song a day, you know, or a poem a day, or certainly this writer, Natalie Goldberg, talks about daily writing as a discipline being important. And it maybe 10 minutes a day. But then she'd find that it expanded and expanded, because it was almost like a hunger. It just grew to love writing so much. But to give yourself some discipline and some structure. Also, I remember listening to one songwriter talking about how the hardest to finish is when you get close to finished and you don't want to finish. It's sort of like, I've written two verses now, you know, or I've written a page and whatever. I just can't finish it right now. I'll finish it later, you know. Right now the dishes have just absolutely got to be done. You know, I've got to start dinner, whatever. Whatever those multiple things, I mean, suddenly washing dishes looks very attractive, you know. That's the time to just sit yourself down and say, no, I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish. It may not be my ultimate statement. It may not be where I'm going with this, but I will finish. And bringing it full circle can be very important. The other discipline that's also very hard for people is when you've got the writing done and it feels sort of done, you know, it's okay, you know, but you know it's not really done. And that going back and polishing, that part of the process can be so difficult, and it's so necessary to developing the craft, because certainly it's the inspiration that's carried you there, that's given you this idea, but to really know that you're communicating it in the best possible way, in the fewest possible words, you know, with the richness of detail you need, you have to go back and polish. You can't avoid that step, so do it. People write in very different places. Some people need absolute solitude. You know, some people find that walking is a very good thing, you know, because it gets you in the rhythm of the words. And that walking can be just what some people need. Now, for other people, they need absolute quiet and solitude, and maybe a private room and a desk set up that's their particular writing corner. Other people write on scraps of paper in the coffee shop, or, you know, I tend to, I mean, mine comes, as I said, in many different ways. Sometimes I need that discipline. Sometimes I'm driving in the car and I'll keep, and I know it's a long trip, and I'll keep a paper and a pad next to me in the car. And I'll jot down some ideas. You know, I've written whole songs that way on car trips. And the rhythm of the road and just the boredom, and it's like, well, there really is time here, you know, and start writing, let your mind go there. So some people like to do it at home, some people cannot write at home because there are so many things calling. So it depends on you. Okay. We talked a little bit about inspiration. Where's your passion? I think it's really important to follow your passion. And it comes and it may come and go so fast, but if there's some subject you're passionate about, write about that. And it may be scary. It may be something you do not want to write about. You know, it's like, I'll write about anything but that. And that may be exactly the thing you need to go right into the heart of. And that may be the thing you need to write about. What are some of you, what are some of the ways you get inspired? You know, what kinds of things get you to write?
Oh, I don't want to run out of time.
Too much, we're trying to pack in through little. What are your sources of inspiration? Now, I know you have said, I've just forgotten your mother's name. Anne, that she feels strongly that her inspiration comes from God. And I think there are many of us who write who feel that there is an element of mystery. Certainly for me, too, I so often feel that I'm not writing songs, I'm writing down songs. As one person said, that it's just whew, coming through, and I'll look at that and think, where did that come from? There is, for me, there's an element of awe, there's an element of mystery. But it's like any kind of prayerful or spiritual activity in which you have to be receptive and you have to make the space for that to happen. And then you still have to have developed the tools. You know, it's just the inspiration can come, but it's your job to have readied yourself by learning your craft, you know, and by practicing. Oh, yes.
Are there some formulas or basic formats for songs? I'm sure I would never know when to stop or what was the end if I started.
Did you start writing?
I'm not a person to put down words. I don't even like writing letters, so mm-hmm. I'd have to approach songwriting from probably the musical.
Uh-huh.
But how do you know when you're finished? And
I think the best way, and I don't think there's any formula, I think the very best thing you can do is just listen a lot. And that's true of writers and poets and anything else, is just listen. And listen deeply and try to duplicate a lot of what you hear in a song that you like. And maybe your form will be country western, you know, because there's a clarity and a simplicity there. It's probably a good way, or folk songs, a good way to start. And just to listen, and I think you find, and then start singing or, you know, writing like that person, and I think you'll find that it comes. Those answers come just with doing it. But the first thing you have to do is make yourself do it, you know, and not just being so intimidated by all these kinds of blocks we've talked about. You know, I sort of listen to these blocks, and you just sort of want to dress them up in funny costumes and clown suits and put them on a stage and laugh at them. Because so many of them are those kind of messages we got as children that said, you know, singers, for instance, just move your lips, please, don't, you know. And we got the same messages as writers. Well, you're really good at numbers, you know. the kind of messages that come that just stop us as kids, and then we never do it. We never go back to it. And I'm really out to destroy those myths, because I really think they're myths. And a lot of it is cultural messages. You know, we get it from TV, we get it from the culture that says there are certain stars that do this, you know, and the rest of us don't. And obviously, as I stated at the beginning, we all do. You know, I'm just running right over, and there's so much I want want to share, but what I really want to do is hear from any of you who have brought some things to share. And if you just want to read it, great. I'd love to just have us listen to what some of you have done. If maybe something that came out of the last class or something you feel like you want to bring, then just take a minute to do it. If you would like feedback on this particular piece you've written, then let us know that. You know, we'll assume you don't unless you ask us for some input or for some feedback. And then if we are going to give input to that person, let's be sure and give them enough detail that it will be useful. And detail is, that's one thing, important thing I didn't want to skip over. Detail in any of your writing is one of the most important things. Really, in telling a good story, and like Ingrid, you were saying, well, I'm not particularly a creative person. And yet when you tell stories, you know, they're just rich. You know, you have a real skill for storytelling. You're very creative. And part of it is, you know, obviously you've been listening and honing in on the details that surround a particular story. And that's truly the art of the storyteller or the writer. That's what brings you into it. So, well, Anne, you had something to share.
Do you want to read it? She says.
Would I like to read it? Sure. Would you like me to? Yeah.
I wrote a story about that food. And when I wrote that story, I came into a writing I did. I got the prize with the story. And then I made a poem from it. I left part of it out.
Oh.
And I kind of rough draft of the poem because I had polished it.
Oh, yes.
And I can't remember just exactly how it was. I wrote that from memory, but that's the main way it went.
Okay. The amazing old Mrs. Ritchie. Mrs. Ritchie, mother sighed. She's little Annie's daily song.
Mrs. Ritchie was a neighbor of mother's when she was a little girl. She was called Annie.
Okay. Mrs. Ritchie, seems like she can't ever be wrong. Mrs. Ritchie is a shabby old barefoot rebel, scorning fashion bustles, mutton sleeves, styles of 1903. Mrs. Ritchie has a garden. Mrs. Ritchie has a cow. Mrs. Ritchie's Queenie has 6 puppies. Can I go and see them now? Mrs. Ritchie, hollyhock and roses, apple trees, old weather-beaten shack, exotic scent of fresh-baked cookies. Can anyone beat that? Bossy-eating grass got tangled. Mrs. Ritchie fixing Bossy's rope. Oh, my, I had to go and step in one of Bossy's pies. Little Annie queried, how can Bossy make a pie? Just like a horse makes biscuits, Mrs. Ritchie replied, petting Queenie's puppies all at once. Annie wondered, where do puppies come from? You just wait and you will see. How did Mrs. Ritchie know there would come a stormy night and a little dog would scratch at Annie's door? How did Mrs. Ritchie know, warm and dry, the little dog would lay upon the floor? 3 little puppies, the miracle of birth. Mrs. Ritchie didn't know that, but as usual, she was right.
Wonderful.
That's beautiful. She said part she left out. Oh, okay. Oh, this is the rest? Okay. I was Annie, 5 years old. I was at Mrs. Ritchie's every chance I got. The dog, a big black one, I was petting her. This is more the story that it came from.
Yeah, what were they? It was just, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll hold this part, because this is also really fine. But I'll hold this just to see if there's somebody else. The poem came from this. So you wrote it out first, and then...
I together a whole story.
Great.
And same day, he got 3 pies. And then later, I wrote a poem from it. I left that out in the poem.
Yeah.
That belonged to the poem.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay.
Someone else has something that they would like to share.
I have something that's not quite as nice as that, perhaps, but it has a lot of feeling. It's something that I've been working with. And I would like some feedback about it. It's called 41 Years. I have lived on for 41 years, in pain from the fear that I might remember,
remember a childhood of sorrow and fear. A fog in my mind covered the sorrow, denying the facts and living a dream. I have lived on for 41 years.
Mm. Oh, there's some passion there. Mm.
My vase is a lot more than what you have there. I think the number of words.
Yeah, I'm waiting for just this sort of. I'm waiting for this sort of slow unfolding of this, because that's what it feels like. You've got my attention. Yeah, I'm right here, and just to sort of see how that unfolds. Yeah, I would stick with it.
I've got one. It's not anything like theirs. In fact, it's kind of silly, but when you gave us an idea of afraid, you know, I went back and thought, afraid? And I thought, what am I afraid of? I don't know. Could it be the boogeyman? No. Could I be afraid of what goes bump in the night? Or the snakes and spiders seen in daylight? What am I afraid of? Oh, I know. Bats that fly at night, darting to and fro. If one were to get on me or in my hair, I would scream and holler. It would be such a scare. So that's what I'm afraid of, bats at night. Some people think they're cute, but to me, they're a threat. And I'm afraid of scream and holler one down on you in my hair.
Did you say that really did happen? One did get in your hair?
That's
your fear.
I would really scream and holler if that's the only thing I would scream and holler if it got on me.
Uh-huh.
Not a spider, nor a mouse, nor a snake, but a bat. I think they were so ugly. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is there room for
I like very well how the rhythm of the words. You definitely get into the rhythm or have found, which we didn't have time to talk about very much, but every phrase has a rhythm and a heartbeat and a breath, and it's so important to keep it natural, you know, when you're writing, putting it, that you step it out, that you are sure you found that internal rhythm, and that seems to come quite naturally to you. For many writers, they're trying to cram too many words in, or, you know, not enough words. And try to make the rhythm fit what they want to say, rather than playing with the phrase and with the words until it flows naturally. That seemed to flow quite naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did polish it. I took out some words, and then I tried to count the syllables on each line to make sure there weren't, you know, too many more in the next one.
Well, I could tell you definitely did some polishing on that too. Other feedback?
I get talking about that. I think that's probably one of my problems is that I'll get a thought. This was Thoughts from Matins 85 on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have, you know, like, struggle with this. I want to get those rhyming endings, and I sort of got the middle, then I added on a front, and well, I'll just read through it, and then we'll critique whatever. We'll throw it away. Jesus came down from heaven, leaving his riches and position, so that we could know of the riches that are ours, which our eyes could not see. He became mortal so that our lives could eternally joyfully be. His hands were nailed to the tree so that our hands for his continuing creation could be free. His feet were nailed so that forever, Lord, we could walk with thee. His heart was pierced and outflowed his blood so that all of our hearts could forever flow his love from above.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this one of those kind of moments in a song, and I had, you know, kind of like a little vision or an inspiration, and I went back and started writing, trying to, you know, put it down. And so what you're saying is, you know, work on that. Don't try and cram so much in. Make those so that they really meter out.
Not necessarily.
Sometimes
I don't want
you can vary the music for a certain part and then and handle it that way.
Yeah, so there are many ways to approach it. If you want it to be more rhythmical, like a poem, yes, you've got some work to do in terms of making the phrases fit it. But it's also true that it may be a piece that you want to be more free-flowing, and you may find a composer who's just willing to play with that, you know, and just wrap it around that. One thing that I hear that I would encourage is more detail. Again, it feels general right now in familiar images, and I want to be surprised. Is that a good word? Does anybody resonate with that? I want to be surprised by some, maybe some detail that gives me a closer look at what you're saying, or a different perspective.
A vivid image.
Yeah.
It's almost like a focusing of the camera, where the different, the more you turn the knob, the thing on the front of the camera, the more it focuses in on something.
Yeah.
And I can see I can see the sort of general picture, but I would like you to zoom in on a few little things there to make, to give me some real vivid images.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that what I feel too often happens in our writing at the beginning is we try and take on too much, and we try to look at too broad a picture, and then it can only be so general that we don't feel the impact. And the more and more you narrow, as you said, narrow the lens, the more and more you focus in on one particular aspect, the stronger it is in general. That's not always true, but my feeling is when I've tried to write a song about world peace, you know, or something, it's fallen kind of flat. But if I can get it down to details, one after another, and images, then suddenly it starts having more impact.